Okay, Kevin, for the grand prize of $1 million, what color is the White House?
I know this.
5 seconds.
Oh, switching to Geico could save you a bunch of money on car insurance?
Okay, judges. That's true, Kevin. They'll allow it. Congratulations. You're a winner.
Woo! Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
Blog Talk Radio.
This has always been a word planet. God designed it that way. See, he spoke the universe into being in Genesis, the first chapter. For the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. But God, the speaking spirit, spoke and said, let there be light, and there was light. So I want to know how many people are excited about the word tonight. I said, are you excited about the word tonight? If you're excited, get up and we're going to just celebrate the word together. Ah, here we go, y'all. Talk to them. Tell them.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Truly, I am thankful just to be on the air today. And you're welcome to Prospering Souls Bible Class. This is our show, and we have been exploring and talking about a foundational series. And we've been talking over the last couple of weeks about forgiveness and then unforgiveness. And we've been talking about those things. And I'm just always so thankful and so grateful for each and every one that logs in or that calls in, and especially for those that call in and are discussing and ministering to the people. And I am so thankful for that, because I'm humbled just that people will take the time out to just be a part of this endeavor that God has given me to do. But I am so excited about today. Well, today we're going to be talking about letting go of grudges. And I tell you, you would be surprised how we hold on to things that we don't really think we're holding on to, and we forget to actually just you know, sometimes we take everything so serious. And yes, the offense has happened, and it is an offense, and it can be devastating, some things are. But I think sometimes if we really begin to think about the time we put into thinking about who hurt us, instead of thinking about how the love of God is in our life and trying to live according to what he would say, then we take up a lot of time. But I'm just so thankful. I have some callers on the line, and I think could you just introduce yourself, and then we're going to have prayer.
Praise the Lord, Lisa Cork.
Praise the Lord, Pastor Lisa. This is our assistant Pastor Lisa Cork, and I'm so thankful for her. This is one of my little sisters. We've been friends. We were young.
Yes.
The Lord has blessed over the years, and she's a mighty woman of God, and I'm so glad to have her on the line on the broadcast today. And who else is on here?
Elder Shirley Russell.
Hi, it's Elder Russell. I'm so glad to have you on the line. I thank God for her. She's a mighty woman of God as well, and I'm always so blessed and honored to have her come on and share her wisdom with us. And Elder Russell, could I ask you to pray for do our opening prayer today?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Father, we just thank you today for this special program, oh God. We ask you, Father, to be with us, oh Lord. Help us, oh God, to devour this word, God, equally, Father, so we will understand, Father, the source of forgiveness, which is you, Father. I ask, God, that you would bless my understanding, God, that you would open up our minds, Father, so we can comprehend what you're telling us, Father, so we may be able, oh, God, to help one another, Father. Bless those that are over this program today, Father.
Thank you,
bless
Lord.
Those, Father. Bless them. Continue to bless them, Father. And we thank you for those that are coming on the program to give testimony today, God. We ask that you bless them, bless them, bless them. Now we give you praise and glory in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. We thank God for that prayer. And I'm telling you, when I was, I think about sometimes, even in my own life, just the things that sometimes have happened, and we don't even think about that, that we're not in a forgiving mode about it. I thought about the pastor that was on a couple of weeks ago, and he talked about that justified unforgiveness and how he felt like he was justified in his stand that he had taken against his father. And that opened up a whole another perspective, because I think sometimes we have not really ever thought about it that way. But anyway, I was thanking God for that, because so many times we do justify it because we feel like we're right to be able to hold on to that, you know, hold that person in contempt of court is what I say. You hold them in contempt of court because you feel like, no, if I forgive you, then I'm releasing you from what you did. And that's not true. We still have to give an account for the deeds we do in the flesh. And that's the one thing we have to always be mindful of, is that we have to give an account for that. And me forgiving somebody is not letting that person, the offense, released from the offense that they did commit. And the only way they can be have any release in it themselves is if they go to God themselves and ask for forgiveness for what they've done and begin to ask God to change their life. But today we're going to talk about letting go of grudges, and then I'm going to let Evangelist, I call Evangelist because she's there too. She's got evangelistic ministry, and now she's an assistant pastor, but I'm going to let her begin to minister some things and whatever is on her heart to do. I'm just so thankful for her being here. But I wanted to talk about Leviticus 19 and 18 was one of the scriptures that came. I kind of used the New American Standard version of the Bible today, because it really talked about the word as being a grudge. And so it says, ye shall not take vengeance. And this is Leviticus 19, chapter 19, verse 18. And it says, and you shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. It says, I am the Lord. And then so I said, well, why is it so easy to hold a grudge? I mean, what's it makes it so easy for people to hold on to things? And it said, and my note says, when you're hurt by someone you love and trust, you might become angry, sad, or confused. But if you dwell on hurtful events or situations, grudges filled with resentment, vengeance, and hostility can take root. And if you allow negative feelings to crowd out positive feelings, you might find yourself swallowed up by your own bitterness or a sense of injustice. And then I said, well, what are the problems with holding on to grudges? What are some of the problems? One of them is we carry a grudge, and it means that we are unforgiving or unloving. It's really that simple. Sometimes we don't really feel like that, you know, we're unloving or we're unforgiving, but it really is, because if we really look at it, forgiveness, the difference, the thing with forgiveness is love, and the thing with unforgiveness or holding on to grudges is really hate. And so we have to think of it that way. God is love, and the enemy, of course, represents the hate side of it. And so anytime he's urging you to hold on to something that will cause you not to be in the right stand with God, then you know it's hatred. He's trying to build some kind of hatred up in you. And so many times people have held these things and begin to even have affliction in their bodies because they're holding on to things that are causing those kind of things. And I said, it makes so much more sense when we really dive into it and look at it from that perspective. If we let it go, we're also freeing ourselves from you know, feeling, having stuff. Some people have developed ulcers and all kind of things just because they're upset with somebody and holding on to something, or it has led them down a path in life that is just really, it's just kind of detrimental to them as they go through life. And so those are the reasons why God is having us to talk about this, because we want people to be set free and delivered, and we want people to begin to look at things from God's perspective and not from our from our perspective. Because when we look at it from our perspective, then we're saying that we're bigger than God, and we're not that. We have to look at life from God's perspective and really begin to hone into what He would have us to do and not what our flesh would have us to do, because it wants to be satisfied. But we have to satisfy what the Spirit of God is telling us to do, and then that will put us in the right place. Does anybody have any comments concerning any of that?
No, ma'am. But you're right. It does.
Yeah.
It causes a domino effect, because it affects not only you, but it affects the people that are around you, your family, and then also those that you work with in ministry.
Yeah.
So it's like it carries. And sometimes we don't realize that we're walking in that.
Exactly. Because it just goes from one thing to the next thing and the next thing, and you don't even know that even in your personal life that you are you know, just spreading that same negativity across every area of your life. At home, when you're at work, when you're at school, wherever you are, that same negativity is just following you, because you're just holding on to these certain things. And so when you let it go, God can really begin to minister to you. And it says that it was talking about what problems we have with grudges. The second thing it says, bearing a grudge leads one to bitterness, wrath, and hatred. Mm-hmm. Anger is the fuel from which grudges spring. A grudge is hatred in action. That's what it is. And so then Ephesians 4, chapter 4, 26 through 27, and then verse 31 says, I'm reading all of these out of the New American Standard Version. Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. Grudges in a Christian's life are evidence that the old man is not dead and put off. And let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. And then it says grudges promote gossip and slander. The repeating of a matter is typical of a person who hold a grudge and does not show love and forgiveness. Proverbs 10 and 18 says, he who conceals hatred has lying lips. Mm-hmm. And then, go ahead, if anybody has any comments, you can stop me at any time.
I got a little comment. Can you all hear me? This is my first time on the line. Sister Diana, praise the Lord. I thank the Lord for the Word of God, who gives us all of this has been laid out for us as example. And I, what comes to my mind, sisters, when you name it all that, is it Esther's uncle, the man that was trying
Mordecai,
yeah, the man that hated him, how it festered in him and festered in him, and how not only did it fester in him, but his hatred turned around and convicted him.
Yeah.
I just love how the word, what I've come to realize, whatever I go through, nothing's hidden. It's in the word. It's an example for me. It's in the word. So I appreciate that.
Amen.
I might make a comment on that. I think that it is so important to be along with God. Discuss things that bothers you. You know, you need to evaluate your motives and things every single day, because each day there, the enemy is there to just grab and just put things on you. So we want to stay free, and we want to stay in the spirit of unforgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Any way that we can. And the main number one is to target ourselves, to evaluate ourselves, and not be afraid to look deep into our own motives. And make sure they line up with the Word of God.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. Does anybody else have any comments? Thank you. And then I want to also point out, it's these things too. It talks about holding grudges in the in the church, and how it affects the church. It affects your family. If we think, let me talk about the family first. If we remember the elder brother of the parable of the prodigal son. And how, and that's Luke chapter 15, verse 25 through 30. and how when the son came back home, the father prepared a feast, and he was just so happy for his son to come home, and so he prepared all this stuff. But the older son, who had never left, who had stayed faithful to his father and stayed faithful to, you know, he was upset because he was like, okay, I've been here all this time, and I have not left you. I haven't spent your money, you know, riotously. I have not lived that way. But yet when he came home, you prepared a big feast and you never done that for me. And that was his feeling about that. But it was the fact that the younger son returned back to his place. It wasn't so much about he had done those things right. But it's the same way that God feels about us when we come back. When we, yeah. I know, you know, they used to always say that when a soul, when somebody gets saved, that the angels in heaven start rejoicing because of that one soul that came in. And so there's a factor that plays into it that he came home, he came back, he came to himself, and he came back home. And so that was what the feast was about. It wasn't so much about that he had done something right or wrong, but that he had returned back to the right place in God. And that is what that was about. But that's how that's how grudge holding or those kind of things can affect the family. And you would be surprised how many families are upset with their parents about certain things. They're upset because, you know, they felt like the older child got more attention or the younger child got more attention. And their fathers were present the whole time. They were there. They were hardworking people, their parents or their mother. They were hardworking people. They took care of them. But because they didn't get that special attention that they felt like they should have gotten, they hold these places, they hold these grudges in their heart against their parents. And I think when I hear about that, sometimes I think, yeah, really? Do you really have something to be having that place for? Because there are people that have never, they don't even know who their parents are. Some don't know who their mothers are. They don't know who their fathers are. They have no idea who they are. They weren't a part of their life, but yet they're going on. And so I think that we have to sometimes consider what we're really thinking about when we're holding on to these grudges. And it talks about that, even when we're talking about in the church. And it says that even if they can continue to assemble under the roof, some people are still going to church and holding all this stuff in their heart. And such division dampers enthusiasm and hinders the word. Like we said, it affects those things that are around us. And so then I thought about Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19. And these are some of the things it says. There are six things which the Lord hates, yet seven which are an abomination to him: a haughty eye, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife among brothers. And that last one is the one that he hates. He hates that one that spreads a strife among the brother. You're spreading stuff and you're causing confusion. And it says the grudge means that you're not committing things to judgment of God. We're supposed to let God take care of these things. And it was so wonderful to hear even Dr. Clark say that today. And here when he was preaching at church at the Potter's House, he was preaching today, and he talked about that. He hit on these same kind of points when he talked, you know, he was talking about that. And I was like, well, Lord, you know, when I hear stuff like that, kind of confirmation, I get excited because I feel like that's the Lord just telling me that, you know, we're in the right place and we're on the right path of trying to help other people come out of these places. And it's even being a blessing to us as well. What is this? Anybody have any comments about that?
No.
Okay. And so then I want to talk about, I don't just want to talk about a bunch of bad things, but I want to I do want to say this before I go on, the effects that holding a grudge can have. Bring anger and bitterness into every relationship or new experience. Become so wrapped up in the wrong that you can't enjoy the present. People become depressed and anxious. They feel like their life lacks meaning or purpose, or that you're at odds with your spiritual beliefs. And then they lose valuable or an enriching connectedness with others, all because of holding on to some grudges. And if I think about some good biblical examples in the Bible, I think about Esau and Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
And how Esau really had a reason to hold that grudge, but first he had sold his birthright.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then the next thing, when Isaac was getting, you know, was getting ready to hand out the blessing, Jacob and his mother and Rebekah came up with a plan that Jacob would get the blessing from Esau, so he stole his blessing. And then when Esau came back in from, because his father told him to go make, you know, make him a savory meat like he likes it, and so Esau went out and done the hunting and got the meat and came back and prepared it. But Rebekah heard that, and so she told Jacob, you know, I want you to go do this. And, you know, she told him exactly what to do because you need to come in the place of your brother and receive the blessing that the Lord that your father is going to speak upon it, on his life. And she wanted him to have it because these were twins and they were even wrestling together in their mother's womb. And, you know, they had a struggle then. So the struggle really began at their birth. But even how that as they grew up, it just kind of continued. But once Esau got back home, Jacob had already was done handing out the blessing. And all he had for him was just, you know, some stuff that wasn't, you know, wasn't really a blessing to him. And how he said to himself that when my father dies, I'm going to kill my brother.
Mm-hmm. Joe said that.
That was his plan. But then later on after, you know, they had went their separate ways and, you know, he had went on and the Lord still blessed Esau because the thing about it, he was going to be blessed because of just the lineage that he was in. Mm-hmm. And so then later on, I think it's in chapter 33, when Jacob and Esau meet again, Jacob was really scared because he felt like, you know, he felt like his brother was going to kill him. And so he kind of he lined his children up in a certain order. You know, he put the concubine's children up front and then Leah's children next and then Rachel's children was in the back. And, you know, he had all this stuff and he was trying to give his brother a gift. But when he saw Esau ran up to him and embraced him.
Yeah.
Because he was once holding a grudge, but then he had forgotten and went on about his business and because he was so blessed. That he went up to him, and so it kind of threw Jacob off because he was like, oh, okay. And he kept trying to give him, Jacob kept trying to give him some gifts and presents, but Esau was like, oh, I don't have need of nothing. And he was even willing to send some of his men with Jacob just as added help for him.
Mm-hmm.
That's such one of the great stories in the Bible about turning things around.
Yeah.
That's right.
Does anybody have any comments on that story? Or maybe that's something that's happened in your own life you might want to tell of.
Well, I think that's a great story. That's a great example because today even family members are still fighting among themselves. Still fighting.
Yes.
Still having grudges against one another. And
exactly.
I think once the love of God comes in, then you're able to let go.
Yeah.
But until then, it just grows and grows and just grows. Sometimes you're angry. You don't even know why you're angry, you know.
Right. You don't even know why. And you
think
the
other person is angry.
You know, I love that. I love that piece of scripture, too. I tell you what I truly love about it, and Sister Denise kind of hit on it. It just, for me, as far as the Bible, it shows that even a sinner can be blessed to God.
Yeah,
because Esau, I mean, if you dove into Esau, I think it's in the Chronicles and all, he talks about his kids and they talking about dukes and, you know, people of authority and stuff. I'm thinking, what? You know? So, I mean, for somebody that didn't get the blessing,
lots
but he got the residuals of what was left, he did pretty good.
He
you know,
sure did.
I mean, wow! I'm thinking, wow, Lord, you know, it just shows that there's so much in the Word for the saint and the sinner. The sinner still can be, you know, delivered and far as attitude, thinking about Jacob. Is it Hebrews that said that? I think it was talking about the blessing at the time. That it said something about Esau sought carefully with tears, but found no place of repentance.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that scripture? But I think that had to do with the birthright that he missed out on.
Mm-hmm.
But physical blessings, carnal blessings, they were over. I think, Denise, in that scripture, it says something about it was so much that they couldn't even dwell in the same places that they had so much.
He told Jacob. He said, "I don't need nothing. I got."
Oh my
and
God.
Jacob said, "No." He just insisted that he would take what he would. But he said, "I already got plenty. I don't need it."
Mm-hmm.
And so he came to Jacob when they met. He had 400 men with him, so that was a little intimidating, right there. and you're right. He ended up having like 10 dukes. I mean, he had 10 sons that they were called dukes. And so he had just as many children, almost as many children as Jacob did. And he you're blessed. And if you think about even Ishmael and Isaac. Ishmael was not the promised seed, but still he was a blessed seed because he had just as many sons as, you know, just as many. He had children. He had, you know, he was blessed regardless because of the promise that God had gave Abraham that said he was blessed seed. They received it even though they weren't technically believers.
And as Bishop Jake said, Abraham blessed right now. Remember he said that?
I want to say one thing about Esau. He didn't sit around feeling sorry for himself, saying, look what has happened to me. He got busy. You know, sometimes we can be so into ourselves and angry and hold grudges. We don't function. We don't go forward. Our growth has just stopped. So it looks like he just went on about his business, forgot all about that, and made a great life.
Yeah.
That's true.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And at first he had it was like he was trying to do everything that would be defiant because he married outside of, you know, they didn't want him to marry.
He did.
But he went on and did that and everything. But then he ended up being blessed, even though he was not, you know, he didn't receive the blessing from his father.
Elder Denise, in listening to you all and that story, you look at it from another angle, is the fact that you got to know who you are and whose you are. So you don't have to be jealous of one another. They both were of a blessed seed, Esau and Jacob and Ishmael and Isaac. They still came from a blessed seed. And because one of them had the lineage that God had ordained the promise, but the other one, because of who their daddy were, he was blessed. So we holding grudges against people. If we know who we are and whose we are, that'll help us to stop holding grudges. Because I can see you be blessed, but because to whom I belong to, it does not inhibit or impede my blessing, me being blessed. If we can stay focused on knowing who we are and whose we are and who we're representing, then it doesn't matter how blessed you are. I can appreciate you and your blessing, but it does not stop God from blessing me, and I can still be blessed in my own right, in my own vein, in my own vocation, wherever he's called me, and I can still be effective just like Esau was. Like the prodigal son, the son that never left. He had the same opportunity. He didn't have to begrudge his brother. The fact that they had the same daddy.
Yeah.
And he was already blessed, even though he didn't leave the house. But he was focusing on what the other son got he left and all this kind of other stuff, instead of looking at the fact that I didn't leave, but I was always in royalty. This was always mine.
Yeah.
But the enemy will come in sometime to blindside us and get us on looking at things on the other side and thinking the grass is always green on the other side. For we need to learn how to be grateful for where we are and know who we are and whose we are. It'll help us make better choices and decisions.
That was a blessing right there, because that is so right. And that goes along with that what I was talking about. About, you know, people coming out of these good homes where both parents are in the household, you know, every household got drama, but both parents are in the household, they're working, they're taking care of them, they're being successful, all of these things, and yet we're holding on a grudge because we might not have got some attention that the other one may have got, or we might have thought that, and so those are the things that people are holding on to when they really don't have to hold on to it. You are the same seed.
Thank you.
That was
Thank
a blessing.
You.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And then I'm going to talk about one more story, and then I'm gonna let y'all have it, and y'all can testify about what. I'm going to let Pastor Carter have it and let her just minister to us a while about the things that she got, and you know, because I asked her about a specific testimony, but I'll let her talk about that. But I couldn't get past this by Joseph and his brothers. Because this is another perfect example. First of all, it's so many examples in that particular story. If we really think about it, in the story of Joseph and his brothers, we see a lot of things of forgiveness. Mm-hmm. The father, son bond, mm-hmm. we see sibling rivalry, we see brotherly love, mm-hmm. we see God's sovereignty, we see God's greater good in times of suffering. And just like Joseph, we are called to forgive those who have offended us and see life's experience as part of God's plan to help us serve others. So when I thought about Joseph and thought about all the things that he done, and then when Dr. Clark touched on that today, I thought, oh, Lord, thank you, Lord. I got excited again because he talked about this very story and how, you know, Joseph was a dreamer and he had these dreams. And he said even this today, he said his brothers hated him, but his father checked him. Because we remember Jacob said, you know, he kind of rebuked him, but then he also thought, well, I'm going to consider the matter. I got to consider what's really going on and what he is saying. And even though he was put in the pit and he was sold into slavery and he was at Potiphar's house and he got lied on and all of these things was happening, he got put in prison. And then he interpreted the dreams of the butler and the baker, and he told them, don't forget about me, but they forgot about him. And then once Pharaoh had that dream, finally the butler remembered. And he told him about it, and so then he went and Joseph interpreted the dream. But the one thing he said, once he got up, he didn't go down again.
All right now.
Amen.
He didn't go down again. Once he got up, but the reason why he didn't is because it was his heart in the whole matter. It was how he handled each thing that happened in his life. He didn't take it like, you know, some people, we take it, oh, why is this happening to me? Oh, I don't know why. This is not fair, Jesus. You know, we go into all these different places. When Joseph, he just kind of stayed steady. These things were happening to him, but he stayed focused on what God originally had told him.
Mm-hmm.
And what God had originally had showed him what he was going to be.
Thank you.
And it goes back to what you just said. If we know who we are and who we are,
mm-hmm.
we can get through these obstacles better because we know it's for what? It's for our good, but it's for God's glory.
Yeah. Amen.
God is going to get the glory from it, and it's going to be for our good. It might not feel good. It might, you know, none of that. And it might be, you might, you know, but it is for our good because all things work together for the good of them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. So I could not leave without talking about Joseph and that particular story and how it came out. Does anybody have any comments about that story or anything you want to say about that?
Well, Joseph, the story of Joseph is a good story to teach us about forgiveness. And it teaches
yeah.
you why not to hold on to unforgiveness because he always had a door open for God to provide for him because of his heart, as you just said. We tie God's hand because we put ourselves in his place and we decide we have to get somebody back and do vengeance. But he already told us vengeance belongs to him. So if we do what is right, regardless of when somebody else has done us wrong, at the end, we'll be like Joseph. Once we get up, and when we get up, because we will get up, we will not go back down again. We'll be in the position to help those that hurt us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the position he was in. And even when when their father died, they were afraid that he was going to get them back. But he told them, he said, he said, what you intended for evil, God intended for good.
That's right.
Amen.
And he was used to preserve a nation, God's people.
Amen.
And so God had him for that purpose all along. It was just when Joseph first had the dream, you know, he was the way he was telling it might have been a little arrogant. You know, a lot, because he was telling them how they was going to bow down to him and all of that. And they was just like, what do you mean?
He was just
right, at the time, Joseph was not mature enough to really be able to interpret what was really going on in that dream. So God took him through some things that helped him what? To mature. And sometimes when we go through things, God is helping us to mature.
Amen.
And we are learning how to do better. I tell people all the time, I say, as you walk with God, you'll get better at it. Because you'll learn from each thing, and it helps you to grow stronger. And things that used to bother you, those things won't bother you no more, because you have been strengthened so much as you have begun to walk with the Lord, that you get stronger against certain things. And then it might be something else, like they always say, what, a new level, a new devil, but still God will strengthen you to be able. And what did he say? He said he wasn't going to bring you out of it. He's going to raise you above it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that raising you above it is what? Helping you to mature.
Yeah.
And then you begin to come. Then you come out of it, and you move on into what God has, your destiny and your purpose that the Lord has for you. And I think that's really important for us to know, that as we go through life and as we go through these things, that God is using them to mature us, and he's using them for our good, so that we can tell somebody else about the goodness of God and what God has done, and it'll be a blessing for somebody else. I tell people all the time, this is not the end. It's just a part of your success story.
Right. Mm.
Yeah, God's going to get some glory out of it.
Yes, yes, yes.
Anybody have any comments on that? Well, Elder Carter, we are. I can't wait to hear your testimony, because I know for even myself, you know, my father died when I was like 12 years old. And, you know, sometimes we can hold things we think because they're not around or whatever. I missed out on a lot of things in life. But when I really think about it, he might have passed. My natural father was not here for things, but my spiritual father has been there for everything.
Yeah.
And I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful for that. So even though my father, he took my father at an early age for me, I couldn't be upset about it because God was there for everything.
Mm-hmm.
But Elder Carter, I'm not going to talk about it no more. I want you to testify and tell us some things and share what you want to share with us in the ministry. And I am so thankful for you being on the call today, and I'm going to let you have it.
Well, praise the Lord to everybody and to you, my friend. I am so proud of you, and I am so humbled to be able to share. But I want to about unforgiveness and bitterness and having a grudge. I was my biological father molested me from age 7 to age 10. And growing up, I'm the only child by my mother. And so there was a few times in Denise and Mom, I would be over there. They were my babysitters, and my mom worked nights. And a few times I had came home from school one day and found my mother laying on the kitchen floor. He had raped. And another incident, he had came and he had threatened to take me out of school. So my mother rushed to get me out of school, and I saw blood on the side of her ear. He had beat her and separated her earlobe. And so the last incident was when he put two pistols, pointed them to my mother, and pulled the trigger. And I'm standing there, you know, screaming. And so we left the house that day. We didn't have anywhere to go, and my aunt had went on and offered a place. And so I was didn't know no better, I was a daddy's girl. And so during age, you know, 7, you know, I didn't know no better, and from 7 to 10, and so he was telling me this is what fathers are supposed to do with their daughters. And for years, going into that, I'm thinking that was, you know, supposed to be. But then when you study and learn and know, that's not acceptable. Fathers are not supposed to do that to their daughters. They aren't supposed to provide and protect. And my biological father didn't. He had an alcohol problem and all that. And so when God called me into the ministry at age 19, I was still wounded, and I found myself dealing with men that had the same spirit as my biological father. And so going into ministry and moving forward and everything, I didn't realize that I had the anger, that I had the bitterness, that I had the unforgiveness and all that, until I met a preacher that I started dating, and he reminded me exactly as my biological father. And so we had an altercation, and then that triggered everything. And so in talking to my dad, and my dad I call is my stepfather, and my dad was like, something's wrong, what's going on? And I finally shared with him what my biological father did from age 7 to 10, and he told me if I ever told anybody, he was going to kill my mother. And with me seeing the abuse, I felt that he was going to kill my mother. And so going in ministry and holding all that in, it was still at age 25 when I shared what happened to me to my dad. And so he was telling me, well, you need to go see a counselor. I got offended because I'm like, how are you going to tell me? Am I crazy? He's like, no, you will find out that there are other people like you that have gone through the same thing. The only difference is you have an anointing on your life. God has called you to minister. And so during that time, I went to the psychiatrist and I was telling her, so I had not yet told my mother. So as weeks of counseling went on, I finally was able to talk to my mother, and she was hurt. I even was able to confront my biological father, and when I confronted him, he was like, I didn't do that to you. You're lying. But I still walked in unforgiveness, bitterness, anger, and I was spiraling out of control. And so Denise and I went to church at, I got sat down. I was the first elder to get sat down because I was spiraling out of control, and I was affecting and infecting the ministry, my family, those that I came in contact with, because I was having meltdown moments because of the incident, because I began to blame myself, what could I have done differently, or why did this happen to me? And I was going back and forth. And so then it came, you know, after talking to my mentor and my pastor then, was you got to be free. You cannot be used totally by God and fully by God when you're harboring unforgiveness, grudges, resentment, bitterness, and all these things. And that causes health problems, weight gain. I was like a roller coaster, up and down with weight. And so when I finally got delivered from holding that grudge, and even when I had spoken to my biological father at age 25, and he was like, you're crazy, I never did this, that hurt. But then when I really laid on the altar and got delivered from the bitterness, from the anger, from the grudge, and all of those things, then I was able to allow God to use me in the full potential and the calling. And so here we are 10 years later. My younger brother, he has my biological father has many children. 10 years later, a sickness had afflicted my little brother. And so my little brother wanted me to come to the hospital, and he forewarned me that our biological father was going to be there. It was 10 years ago that when he looked me in my face and told me he was sorry for everything that he'd done. And wow. That was like a breaking for me. And he told me, you know, when you called me and you approached me and you told me all of this, I didn't want to, you know, accept that. And he didn't understand the hurt and the damage that was done by him. And so when he said that, that was like a breakthrough, another breakthrough for me to be able to hear my biological father apologize and to say, you know, hey, I'm sorry, I did this and I was wrong. But that was a breaking for me because then I was able to, like I said, to operate in those gifts and operate in ministry the way I was supposed to, but it wasn't good. And then with that experience, I found myself in two bad marriages. The first one was mental and abuse, emotional, and there was some physical. And I'm like, what is the cycle? But I went back to what my mother went through. And then the second marriage was, he was clean from drugs, but then when we got married, he started all over again. And the cycle, he wasn't abusive, but he was never there. And so I'm like, God, what's going on? And so I'm like, God, you have given me a deliverance and a prophetic ministry, and I can't even get my husband then to even, you know, he grew up in the church, knew the word, knew there was a calling on his life, but after we get married,
I'm like, got you that joke? And then I began to go back to what I went through with my father. So all of these emotions and things were coming, but God had never left me. There was a time where there was bitterness again that rose up because I'm like, God, when you're married, it's supposed to be forever. And I had an issue, and I'll make draw it into a close, had an issue even with the first husband. There was adultery, including the emotional and mental abuse. And I found myself going back into that stage of unforgiveness and bitterness. And I'm like, God, I cannot allow that to eat at me. I cannot stand before your people with this issue and go forth in ministry. And I know that I'm broken. I'm not well. I'm sick, and I need to be delivered. So once again, I had to go back and ask God to deliver me, to cleanse me, to purge me, to get rid of those layers of unforgiveness, the bitter spirit, the resentfulness. And there was a while that I wanted to be vindictive. I wanted to get back. But I thank God for the curse that is broken, for the chains that no longer, the strongholds are no longer there, and that I no longer walk in bitterness or unforgiveness. But God has allowed me to be able to see other women that I've gone through where their father had molested them. I'm able to minister to them when marriages and bad marriages and when their husband's been on drugs and all those kind of things. I'm able now to minister because I've been there and done that. I'm able to identify those spirits because I once had those, and that was baggage, and it had prevented me from being effective in ministry. And so now I am thankful that I'm able to, I didn't think that all the hurt and the pain that I went through, that God was going to use that for me to be able to be a blessing to somebody else. Say, honey, I've done that. And God has delivered and healed me and restored me, and he can do it for you. But you have to let go of the first. You got to let go because it'll tear you down. And what people don't understand, and I can relate, it affected my family. It affected me being a minister and then being a ministry leader. It was the ministry that I was attached to because I was not doing what I was supposed to be doing. I was acting in ways that was not pleasing to God. And so it was a domino effect, but I didn't see that at the time. But I saw it when I got sat down and they walked me through the process. I can see now that all the hell that I went through, it wasn't only for me, but it was to help somebody else to say, baby, you can make it, and God loves you, and that you can be free and walk in the calling that God has given you. And that's what I wanted to share. But it was a process, but I thank God for what he's done.
Thank you, Lord. Woo, Lord have mercy.
Could you also speak to this too about Bishop Gaines? That's a stepfather, but
my stepfather, like I said, which is my father, he took me, you know, him and my mother, they celebrated 30 years this year in May.
Thank you.
When he came into our lives, it was like night and day, and I'm trying not to cry. He is such a jewel. When I announced my calling, it was a year later after that he announced his calling. And my mother had a bad marriage with my biological father, but he showed my mother, and he still shows her love, unconditional love, and he took me in as one of his own. And for him to nurture me and to be able to identify when I was in that bad relationship with the preacher, he was able to identify something's not wrong with my child. And when I shared that with him, he went to the counseling sessions with me. He was there with me. He was my support. He was my mother's support. He has been a jewel and a blessing. And even now, here we are, like I said, 10 years later, when my biological father saw that the woman that I am, and I give God the glory and the praise, he says, tell your father, thank you for raising such a beautiful woman. Because I wasn't there, and I did things to you that was not what I was supposed to have done. You tell him thank you for raising me because he's done a beautiful job. And I said, to God be the glory. And he even called the house. And him and my dad talked, and my dad was like, you know, I just did what I was supposed to do. She's my daughter. I know you made her, but she's my daughter. And I thank God. I need to say it again. To God be the glory. Who would have ever thought all the hell that my mom went through and the things that I saw went through, that God blessed her with a good man, not only a man, but a true man of God, and that I can even say, I'm glad to call him daddy, and I'm just blessed to have him in my life.
Hey, thank the Lord. I think it's such a beautiful testimony, because I got to witness some of that growing up too, because he was such a blessing. And I know, and I remember him coming up through the ranks, and now, because he's a bishop now, isn't he?
Sister,
pastor. He's a sister. Yeah, I gotta get it straight. Okay, but anyway, I remember him coming up through when he got called, and he's been working in ministry all this time. But just how he was such a blessing to you and your mother, and it was such a blessing to see that, and just to know that, you know, sometimes the enemy brings one bad thing in, but he'll bring somebody in to restore.
Amen.
Amen. That is the truth. I thank the Lord for that. And that's what, does anybody else have anything they want to say about that? Just listen. Okay. So, but I thank you so much. I thank you so much for sharing your testimony. That was awesome. And I don't even think I really knew all that it went on. Oh, my God. That's a lot to endure. I don't think I really knew the depth of it all. And just for you to be able to share that and be able to share that, so many people can't even talk about it, you know, some going through those kind of things. And it's so unfortunate, but it's so many of our women and young women that have went through those testimonies, even with marriage and all of that. But to be able to tell the goodness of God about from it, it's such a blessing, and to know that you've been set free and delivered and you're walking in that and you're able to be a blessing to other people. That's why I tell people all the time, you know, you might be going through something right now, but you're going to be able to share that with somebody else and be able to say, just like you said, let me tell you, I done been there and done it, and let me tell you how the Lord blessed me. And to be able to share that with people, the Bible says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so when we can testify to about what we've been through, and they know that you've come through it and see that and be able to hear that like that, that's such a blessing for somebody else to get delivered and get set free and be able to do it. So I hope that whoever it is that needs that testimony, because there's a whole bunch of people that need to hear that, that the Lord will bless them to find it, and if they're even on logged on or they'll hear it later, that the Lord will bless them to be able to be blessed by such a wonderful testimony, because that is awesome, and that is a lot to go through. And a lot of people would really continue to say, I have a right to hold a grudge or unforgiveness because of what was done to me. But for you to be able to release that and go to God and ask God, Lord, help me to come out of this. And I got something else I want to talk about too real quick, and it kind of leads us right to that from the testimony, because it talks about how we need to learn to let go and what are things that we can try to get us there. One of the things was make forgiveness a priority.
Yeah.
Forgiveness is important.
Yes.
And as we see over and over in the Bible, yet it doesn't always come naturally. We have to learn how to forgive, but forgiveness only comes if we are willing and we put in an effort to make it happen. Make the loss of a grudge or your priority set you in the right path. And then the next thing it said was, in my notes it says, take a moment to think about the situation. In order to get over a grudge or offense, we have to spend some time thinking about the situation that caused it in the first place. The situation may hurt to think about, but we have to look at it from all sides. And sometimes we are quick to anger, and we don't always think clearly about what happens. But take some time to really think about it and begin to go to God in prayer about it. Because God is the one that can help you to get through it, to get over it, and to move forward. And those are the things that we have to realize. And the next thing is we have to realize that while you're holding on to anger, while you're holding on to so much anger, what makes us afraid to forgive? It makes us afraid to forgive. And sometimes the hurt goes so deep that we think forgiveness lets the offender off the hook, but it doesn't. Forgiveness doesn't mean that there aren't consequences. It's about freeing yourself from emotions that tie you up in knots. Maybe it's time, and so that you can move on from that situation.
Amen.
And then the next, yeah. You have to pray about the situation. Go ahead.
The Bible says to be anger and sin not, which means that makes that a commandment. So we are commissioned. It's okay to get upset and be angry, but we're not supposed to hold that grudge. So if we're holding the grudge, once again, it is something to do with our relationship with God, which causes us not to be able to forgive. We have got to stay focused on the center, and the center is God. Our love for God will help us to endure the anguish and the pain. It might hurt because people make us upset. They could have done us wrong, like Joseph was done wrong. He was done wrong, but he kept being done wrong. But some kind of way, God still got the glory. And his attitude, it's a lot in the story we don't see, but we see on the other end of the story at the outcome that God brought him through. So we've got to take the examples that we have in the Bible and learn how to apply it to ourselves and not focus on the circumstances and what we're facing. That's where we get tricked. Just like being in the Garden of Eden, when they had all those trees and everything they needed, they could have eaten, but the one thing God said don't do, that's what they got tricked with. And that's what the enemy does with us. He tricks us to focus on our pain and our anguish. And instead of saying, God, I hurt, and taking it to God and asking God, as the sister just said, to help you through that process, we try to do it ourselves. If we stay focused on God, that anger will not build up. It builds up because we give a gap. We give space to the enemy. The word said, resist the devil and he'll flee. And so we have to seek peace and to pursue it. That means we got to diligently be pursuing peace, whatever's going to make something right. We are commissioned to go after to make things right and not harbor on what's been done wrong or who did us wrong and what happened. It did happen. God saw it when it happened. We believe he's sovereign, and we don't always understand what he's doing, but we trust him. If we truly trust him, the trust and the love that we have with him will cause us to overcome our own selfishness, ourselves trying to get self-satisfied, and we'll stay focused on him. If we do that, then we'll be victorious, and we'll have the same kind of testimony that Sister Carter had, that we can help somebody else to say people will hurt you, they'll beat you down, they'll abuse you, they'll put a gun to your head, because I don't have one put to mine. But God, he spared my life. He brought me out. He did it. So I can tell somebody what God can do when a gun is put to your head when you by yourself in midnight hour and God spares you when there's nobody there, no policeman, no nothing. All you got is God and his angels encamped around about you to spur your life. He'll do the same thing when we're dealing with unforgiveness. He'll do the same thing when we're dealing with anger if we allow him. The key is we've got to submit ourselves unto God.
Yes. Come on. Yes.
Amen.
That's what we have to do. Amen. That is what we have
Amen.
To do. It is really about the love of God that we do our relationship with God. You are so right. It's the relationship we have with God that causes us to want to do the right thing.
Right.
Yes.
I would like to say just to the speaker that I certainly did enjoy your testimony. I can sense your freedom in that and that that you're overcome by your testimony, and to give that testimony out, it helps to free others to be able to share also.
Thank you.
So I think that your testimony will be a domino effect. It will affect other young people that have gone through the same thing that you've gone through. So I thank God that you were able to withstand and look to the mark of a higher calling. Amen.
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 God bless you.
Thank God for you.
Yes, Lord. I thank God for it. I thank God for it because that was a lot. And I thank God that she was able to overcome it because that right there is going to bless so many women.
Yes.
Yes, it will.
It's going to bless so
yes,
many.
Yes, it will.
Because we'd be praise surprised who was in that same place.
That's true.
Well,
go
ahead.
No, I was just saying it's such a darkness in so many lives that people were so ashamed to share it, you know. Mm-hmm. So now it's, you know, coming to the surface, and that, you know, we can listen, that realize it's not our fault that we were attacked in such a manner. But God can turn a situation around. We're able to forgive and also to go along with our ministry and still be a great testimony for God and to others.
Yes.
And that's true. You know, and even with the, you know, I look at the two bad marriages, and even with this past recent one, you know, being in ministry, and then you hear people talking about our husband, you know, he's on drugs and this and this and that, and then going through us being separated because he was more gone than he was here. And then the last incident, I'll make it short, a year ago, he was on breaking news because he was shooting up houses and stuff. Here I had to do praise and worship for a conference. And so here I am, like, okay, Lord, here I am. I'm ready to do praise and worship. And then he's on TV. So in my mind, it was so humiliating and embarrassing. And I knew when his name was released and picture was released because I'm at church and my phone vibrating. So I turned the phone off. And I'm like, okay, God, I'm embarrassed. But I got to press on because I have an assignment. And just working through all of that, it's been something else. And I'm thankful because now I'm able to see the spirit of addiction of any kind, but I'm also able to recognize the spirit of addiction when it comes to drugs and what to look for and all those things. But I thank God for even that experience. It's not been a good one, but I thank God for it.
Thank God.
You never know how we're going to grow in the kingdom.
Yes.
Amen.
How you're going to be able to use, you'll be able to use that to be a blessing to others. That's such a blessing. But
yes.
The Lord.
Amen.
The Lord is going to. You know, this is what I believe. I believe our ladder is going to be greater than our past. That's all I know. And I know
that
he's going to expand abundantly above all we can even ask or think. And he's going to restore the years that the palmer worm, the caterpillar, and the locust, and the canker worm have eaten up. Those things he's going to do. I believe his word, and I believe these things are going to come to pass in our lives, and then we're going to see the other side. It's going to be like Joseph. When we go up this time, when we get up there, we ain't got to come back down again. We won't have to be going through the same kind of situations, but the Lord is going to bless us abundantly. And I'm so thankful
Amen.
For each and every one of you that was on the call today and participated and ministered to the people of God. And I thank you so much, Pastor Carter, for telling us your testimony and sharing with us just all of those things. And with so many things that I just really didn't even know about myself, but I'm telling you, those are there's some devastating things, but the Lord brought you through it. And I thank God for bringing you on the other side of it and being able to be strong enough to testify about it and able to share with others about it, because that's going to be such a blessing to the kingdom of God and to those that need it, that are still walking around in shame, walking around in unforgiveness and bitterness about the same type of situation. So I thank God for that, and I know it's going to be used for the glory of God. And I'm so, so grateful for that. But I wanted to say to anybody out there who does not know the Lord and the pardon of your sins, that if you want to give your life to Christ, that Christ has open arms and he is ready to receive you. He is ready to receive you. And all you got to do is confess. The Bible says, we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe that God has raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. And so if you believe that today and you say within yourself, God, I just ask you to come into my life. And I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I am a sinner, but I want you to forgive me of my sins, that I may be made whole. And I'm asking you, Lord, to bless your Holy Spirit to come upon me and to fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can learn to obey you. I believe if you make that confession and you believe it in your heart, that you will be saved today. And then you need to find your good Bible-believing church, one that will teach the gospel and teach you the good news, so that you can grow in him, and that because the Bible says faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so I hope that you have took the opportunity just to give your life to Christ today and to be able to be a part of our family. And I do believe when you come into the kingdom, come into this family, that he accepts you in and he adopts you into the family, and the angels in heaven are rejoicing because of that soul that just came in today. And so we thank everybody for being a participant. It looks like the time goes so fast when we're really, things are getting, you know, the ministry is going well. And so I thank God for you. And I just want to ask if Pastor Carter, if you would pray us out, I would be so grateful for that. And then I would want to say that I will, and we will see you all here again next week. And I am pleading the blood of Jesus over each and every one of you, one of your life that you were on the call today, that the Lord will bless you and keep you, and his angels will encamp around about you. Elder Carter, Pastor Carter, will you pray us out?
Amen. Thank you again for allowing me to be a blessing prayerfully. Father God, we thank you right now, Lord God, for this woman of God. We thank you for the vision, Lord God, that you have given her. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that you are enlarging her territory. Thank you, Lord God, for the callers and those that will be sowing seed into this ministry, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing. And Lord, we pray for everyone, Lord God, that has the spirit of unforgiveness, Lord God, and bitterness and resentment. We pray, Lord God, that you will break that chain, Lord God, and the generational curses, Lord God. We pray for freedom and deliverance, Lord God. Thank you for these women that are on the line. We speak a double-fold blessing upon them, Lord God. And we thank you right now. Bless the unsaved, Lord God, that they will receive you, Lord God. And we plead the blood of Jesus against the works of the enemy. We thank you, Father. We give you praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you all, and I'll see you next week. Bye.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
God bless you.
Blessings.
You're listening to Love Advice with Leanne. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, Leanne. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Why, in your professional opinion, do you never take my calls off the air?
Is this Carl?
Yep, it's Carl. I mean, we had a few dates. Everything was great, I thought.
Well, you know, when you switch to GEICO, you could save a lot of money on car insurance.
Okay, awesome.
You should call them.
I will.
GEICO, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.